Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, a pioneer of the hospice movement, died at her home in Scottsdale, Arizona. She was 78 years old. In 1969, Kubler-Ross wrote On Death and Dying, in which she suggested that people who know they're dying pass through a five-stage process of grief: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. In a 1975 radio interview, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross talks about how it's important to help people die with dignity.
The question is really, what does it mean to die with dignity? To die with dignity to me means to die within your character. That means there are people who have used denial all their life long. They will most likely die with it in a stage of denial. There are people who have been fighters and rebels all their life long. And by golly, they want to die that way. And to those patients, you have to help them to say it's okay.
Kubler-Ross's work facilitated the emergence of a public dialogue on the formerly taboo subject of death in this country and revolutionized the way our society treats the terminally ill. Joining us now is clinical psychologist Stephen Connor, vice president of the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. He knew and worked with Kubler-Ross since 1967. He joins us now from his office in Alexandria, Virginia. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Good afternoon.
Kubler-Ross became best known for that five stages of emotion attached to the dying experience, often misunderstood, as I understand it.
Well, I think it captured the public imagination as a fairly simple way of understanding how people face death. It seemed to resonate with many people, but in our work with patients who are dying, it often is an oversimplification of how people face death.
Have her initial theories and insights been expanded upon since she first proposed them?
Well, the so-called stage theory was really a theory about how people grieve. If you know that you're going to die, you're grieving in advance the loss of your life. And we find that that doesn't always apply to how people grieve. People who are angry oftentimes stay angry, and those who are in denial often stay in denial. And the important point was that people, there's no right way to die, and that people all do it their own way, and we need to understand how people face death and support them in their ways of coping.
As we mentioned, among her legacies is the hospice movement. Tell us about her involvement with it.
Well, of course, the work she did in publishing her book on death and dying really broke the taboo about talking about death with people when they were facing terminal illness. We really wouldn't be as nearly successful today as we are if we hadn't had Elizabeth Kubler-Ross to pioneer the way in making it okay to talk to people, and also highlighting that people have important needs when they're facing the end of life that were being ignored by the healthcare system.
Her work taught us a lot about dealing with dying. What did it teach us about what we can learn about life from the dying?
Well, people, when they're facing death, often put aside the pretense and begin to take a look at the meaning of their life, and we all could learn from that experience. Those who can face death often can spend time resolving unfinished business before they die with people they love, and take care of the things that they want to accomplish before they die, and also review their life and take from it what meaning you can about why you were here in this time.
You knew Elizabeth Kubler-Ross for a long time. Tell us a little bit about her. What was she like?
Well, she was a very charismatic woman, very intense in internal life. She could move people in crowds, and you could listen to her and come away thinking that this was something you'd want to spend the rest of your life doing, helping people who are dying. She worked with a lot of professionals to help them become better at caring for dying patients. And she used her own personal experiences and helped people get in touch with their own inner limitations in working with the dying. If you can't deal with and face your own mortality, you can't be very helpful to someone when they're dying.
Do we know how she faced her own mortality?
Those who were with her yesterday when she died reported to us that she had a peaceful death. She was surrounded by family and friends, and she was bedbound for a fair period of time and would say, well, I'm not quite there yet. But finally, at the very end, she accepted her death gracefully.
Stephen Connor, thanks very much.
You're most welcome.
Stephen Connor is a clinical psychologist, also vice president of the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. He joined us from his office in Alexandria, Virginia, and In Washington, D.C., I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.